from this week's Parsha, which is actually a very common question. There are a lot of very common questions. I'm not sure we'll have such clear-cut answers on some of them. And that's the issue of Bal Tashchis. We'll begin with a pasuk that we all know. Ki ki satzur al ir yamim rabim lehilachem alaha letafsa. So if you are surrounding a city or besieging a city, waging war against it to conquer it, lo sashchis es etza lindoach alav garzen. Do not destroy its trees, to chop them with an axe. Kimimenu sochal v'osolo sechros, because you eat from those trees, so don't destroy them. Ki adam etza sadeh lavo mipanecha b'matzor. That's actually a very hard pasuk to translate. The way Rashi understands it is that is the tree man, in other words, you're waging war against the city, not against its trees. Rak etz asher teda ki lo etz ma'achal hu, oso sashchis v'charata. So only a tree that you know is not a fruit tree that you can destroy. Uvanisa matzor al ha'ir asher hi asa imcha milchama ad v'rita. So we all know and we all think about Bal Tashchis as, you know, what your mother tells you if you leave too much food on your plate, don't throw that out. If you do, it's Bal Tashchis. Either that or, you know, there's starving children in Africa, so how could you throw out your leftover food? So the first question I want to ask you is your mother right? Is throwing out your plate of food, half eaten, into the garbage can Bal Tashchis? What do you think? We just read the pasuk.
No.
No, why not?
Right,
the pasuk's talking about cutting down fruit trees in the context of war.
Sort of does.
Okay, no, why? I mean, yes?
Because the tree is only useful in that it gives you fruit. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, so therefore,
so the reason it's Bal Tashchis is because you benefit.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we have to extrapolate from the Torah. The Torah is giving us a particular example. The particular example is cutting down a fruit tree during war. But the idea behind that principle is that we shouldn't be destructive, and especially with respect to food. And therefore, since we shouldn't be destructive with respect to food, so for the same reason why you're not allowed to cut down the fruit tree while engaged in war, and presumably even a just war, a war that's totally legitimate, still you can't cut down the fruit tree. So if you can't cut down the fruit tree, certainly I shouldn't throw out my leftover food. And if you're right, Liba, then this is an example of an idea we've discussed other times, which is how we on occasion will look at the reason of a mitzvah and define the parameters of the mitzvah based off of the reason. Here the reason is not to be wasteful, and we expand the parameters of the mitzvah based off of that reason. That has to be distinguished from another idea also discussed in last week's parsha of Lo Darshinam Taima Dekra, that we don't look for reasons for mitzvos in order to define the parameters, but we'll leave that question aside for now. So this is actually a debate. The two opinions in the front row this year is actually Machlokas Rishonim. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes, V'lo ha'ilanos bilvad, after describing the basic iser, the Rambam says, not just trees, ela kol ha'mishaber kelim, the korea begadim, the horeis binyan, the sosem mayan. Anyone who breaks vessels or rips clothing or destroys buildings or plugs up wells, u'ma'abed machalos derech hashchasa, or destroys food derech hashchasa in a destructive manner, we're going to pay attention to that word and return to it, over below sashchis, ve'enu loka ela makas mardos midireim. So not clear. Rambam says you don't get malchus midoraisa, malchus for if one violates a lav deoraisa, you get what's known as malchus arbaim, 39 lashes. Generally speaking, malchus mardos is for violating din derabanan. The Sefer Chinuch does seem to assume that throwing out your extra food is an iser deoraisa. The Rambam might think it's midorabanan, or in other words, you can't, like you were saying, like Yael was saying, you can't extrapolate from the Torah actual examples, but it's teaching you an idea. Or it's possible that the Rambam holds there's no Malkos Arbaim because it's not explicit in the Torah. But one way or the other, whether it's Aser Midoraisa or Aser Midorabanan, It's clear, the Rambam tells us, that it is aser to throw out food, and Rambam includes all sorts of other examples of destructiveness, breaking things needlessly or the like. My wife once told me she had an idea for a business that would have a china shop filled with like really cheap china. And if you know, a person can go in there and pay a certain amount of money and then get to break the kalim or throw things. So the Gemara actually talks about this in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, about Avid Nachas Ruach LeYitzrei, but obviously getting angry and losing control and breaking things is wrong. It's wrong because you're getting angry, and it's also wrong because it's Bal Tashchis, it's destructive. Yes?
What's the conclusion about extrapolating it from wartime to every day?
So, according to Sefer Chinuch, we do extrapolate from wartime to every day, and we extrapolate from fruit trees to all forms of destructiveness. And he might say that it's a kal vachomer. Even during war, war is in a sense the most destructive possible enterprise. And even during war, in a just war, a person must be careful not to be needlessly wasteful, certainly the rest of the time. That's a view of the Sefer HaChinuch. So as I said, some understand that Bal Tashchis, the way we generally think of it, is a d'oraisa violation. Others say no, the d'oraisa violation might only be with respect to fruit trees, but midrabanan applies to all wastefulness. But as I said, one way or the other, it's aser. So the question then is, are our mothers right? Meaning, say, when our mothers say, if you throw out your food, you'll be in violation of Bal Tashchis, are they right? So I want to see with you a very interesting Gemara that addresses this point. It's source number 2 on the right side of page 1. Amar of Chista, Haiman de Afshar le Lamechal Nama de Sa'ari, Ve'achal de Chiti. Someone who's able to eat barley bread and eats wheat bread. I'm going to translate this into a modern day example. So we all are told that whole wheat bread is healthier than white bread. If you go to the store, usually it also costs twice as much. So let's say I could eat what I call half wheat bread, right? Non-whole wheat bread, white bread. I could eat it, I'll be fine, I won't get sick. And I go ahead and I spend twice as much and I buy whole wheat bread. Someone who does that says, Rav Chista Ka'avar Mishum Bal Tashchis, they violated Bal Tashchis. Why? They could have bought a loaf for $1. Instead, they wasted their money. They bought a loaf of bread for $2. And that's Bal Tashchis. Vamar of Papa, Haiman, Afshar Lemishte Shichra Vashasi Chamra, similar thing. You could drink beer, which is cheaper, and you drink wine, which is more expensive, over Mishum Bal Tashchis. But the Gemara concludes this is wrong. The Lav Milsehi, this is not correct. Bal Tashchis Degufa Adif. Bal Tashchis of the body is stronger. What does that mean?
You shouldn't finish the food on your bike.
Oh, so before we get to that, right, what does that mean in this context, right? It means better to waste your money than to waste your body, as it were, right? So if it's healthier to have whole wheat bread, even though it costs twice as much, that's not Bal Tashchis. It's always surprised when going grocery shopping how healthy things seem to cost like 5 times as much as junky things. But the point is, that's not Bal Tashchis, because Bal Tashchis de gufay, better not to destroy your body than to save money. Again, we're talking about someone who could afford it. Along similar lines, the Gemara tells a story about someone who had let blood, one of the Amoraim, and therefore he was very cold. So he didn't have any firewood, and he started throwing his furniture into his fireplace. So one of his talmidim said, wait, that's Bal Tashchis. What are you doing? You're throwing your dining room chairs into your fireplace. And he said to him, the same line, Bal Tashchis de gufay adif. Look, if I'm sick, I need heat. Better I should be healthy and my chairs be destroyed than the reverse. We'll talk about this at the end when we talk about the value of stinginess. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? And sometimes Bal Tashchis and stinginess are equated, but they're not necessarily the same. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that that Bal Tashchis de gufay adif. So going back, as Liba said, to the question of should you finish your plates, the answer is no. if you're full and there's no, it's not healthy to eat more. Eating more is probably unhealthy. You've already eaten your fill. So to eat the rest of your plate is turning yourself into a human garbage can. You're just eating it. So that's not Baal Tashlis. Baal Tashlis might say, don't take so much in the first place. And we'll talk about this later. Might say, look, if you can put your leftovers back in the container and put it back in the fridge, even though that's a bit of a pain, and eat them tomorrow for lunch or for supper, then you should do that. Don't throw it in the garbage if there's an alternative. But it definitely does not mean you should eat your food when you're full. Now, we talked about this at the Shabbos table last week. So all my kids insisted that it's not a, you know, they had their plates were half full and they should just throw it out. But then when I said, who wants dessert? Everybody was all of a sudden hungry again. So I don't know if that's a, that's a riot. But clearly, Baal Tashlis, which again, we'll define more clearly as we go throughout this year, but clearly that doesn't mean you should just finish the food on your plate because it's there. Because, as we say, Baal Tashlis digufay adif. Yeah.
But the wine and the beer is not necessarily health. It's just like a preference, no?
So in the context of the Gemara, it appears that it was an issue of, it was both an issue of, it was an issue of health as well as money. I don't know what medical information that was based off of. You know, in the olden days, they actually couldn't drink the water oftentimes. It was, they had to, that's why they were always drinking beer and wine, because maybe they liked it, but also because that would purify the water. So it seems that there was an understanding, the implication of the Gemara is that that was a health issue. Otherwise, that's what the context implies. And the basic idea behind this distinction, as you see here in the next source from the Torah Tmimah, is that the Torah prohibited derech hashchasa, lo sashchis. In other words, spending more money to get the healthier food, that's not derech hashchasa. That's not wastefulness. That's not destructive. So the point is, being wasteful and destructive, that's the idea behind the mitzvah. Now, interestingly enough, we find examples where there's actually a mitzvah to be destructive. One example is the mitzvah of kriya. When a person loses a close relative, and there might even be other examples in the Gemara as well, one tears kriya, that's being destructive. Another example might be biur chametz. But going to bedikah for a moment, going to kriya for a moment, there's an interesting debate whether kriya, the mitzvah of kriya, is deoraisa or derabanan, tearing kriya for a close relative. It might be midoraisa. The pasuk, for example, says that when the Bnei Aaron dies, Moshe tells Aaron and his sons, don't tear kriya, which would imply that under normal circumstances, you would have to tear kriya and would indicate that kriya is a mitzvah deoraisa. Others disagree. And what might this debate hinge upon? So the Torah Tumima suggests that maybe the Ravid felt that kriya would have to be deoraisa, because if it wasn't, the Rabbanan could not institute kriya, because that would be a violation of Baal Tashlis. In fact, when you tear kriya, you're intentionally ruining the garment. Some of the halachos of kriya are that it actually has to be ruinous, meaning to say you can't tear along a seam, you have to tear in the, which could be easily fixed in the middle of the garment. And for parents, at the very least, you could never fully repair it. So the Ravid felt that because there's a lav of Baal Tashlis, it must be that kriya is mid-oraisa, because the Chachamim couldn't institute kriya otherwise. Now, what would the Ramban say? The Ramban, who holds that kriya is mid-rabbanan, so how could he say that? So one possibility is he held that Baal Tashlis is also a dirabbanan. But we could think about other possibilities, which is if you see a value in kriya, and another interesting question is what is the value, what is the purpose of kriya? There are various theories as to why. So your suggestion is it's a way of what, of expressing your emotion, of venting.
Isn't lotus go to do always, like in this week's purchase or in the last week?
Lotus is go to do.
Some relationship between the two also.
If you're saying lotus go to do is excessive, kriya is.
Not as, again, an expression of the emotion.
Expression of grief. But why is it a mitzvah to express grief?
It doesn't have to be a mitzvah, but meaning but it's allowed.
Why is it allowed? You're saying it's sanctioned. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but it's not a violation of the Isser d'oraisa because of what? The Torah says, don't be destructive. Let's assume it's d'rabbanan. So how could Chachamim institute it if the Torah said, don't be destructive? So that might be the answer. In other words, one possibility is if it's healthy, either emotionally healthy. One theory behind kriya is it allows a person to express their grief. It's an expression of catharsis or the like. Others say it's even to distract you from your grief for doing something too bad. Others point out the opposite. It's meant to cause a person to do tshuva, to realize the futility, all sorts of different theories, what the reason for kriya is. Maybe another time we could talk about the mitzvah of kriya and why. But it could be that once there is something valuable in doing it, so then it's no longer a violation of Baal Tashchis. And therefore, since there's some, if Chachamim were to be misakein kriya, obviously it's because they felt there's something valuable here, some significant purpose, whatever it is for now. So therefore, once it's not destructive, it's constructive. It's true. It's destructive in one sense, but it's constructive, right? You're allowed to knock down a house to build a better house. You're probably even allowed to knock down a fruit tree if you need the space to build a house or something like that, even though it's a fruit tree. Though that's somewhat of a controversial issue. If we have a chance, we'll get to that later, but the pashup shot is you are allowed to. And the point is that once you see kriya as something that's constructive, and Chachamim clearly felt it was constructive by as otherwise it wouldn't have been misaking it, so then perhaps it's not a violation of Baal Tashchis.
So
along similar lines, just Tosis points over here, they used to have a custom that when the king died, they would burn certain kalim of his. And Tosis says in the top left, the ode, she'en kan hashchasa klal, she'kol ha'osa l'chavodo shel melech, v'nasi ein zu derech hashchasa. Meaning to say, since it's done as an act of kavod, being mechabit a king is a good thing, and therefore, if the destruction is done derech kavod, it has a value, it has a purpose. It's not needless destructiveness, but it's purposeful destructiveness. So then it might not be a violation of Baal Tashchis. Yeah.
Is the same true by wedding? The men had to
break glass. So good. So breaking a glass is a great example. In other words, it serves a constructive purpose to remind us of the Chorban Yerushalayim in Lo'al Rosh Chasi, and not to get too carried away in the wedding celebrations. So that being the case, then that would be an answer. I thought you were going to say about Ufrufs, which might also be an example of this. But actually, the halacha is when it comes to Ufrufs, we'll see it a little bit later. The Rishonim already had that custom, but we'll get to it later. But the halacha is, they used to throw like kleos vegozim, nuts and parched wheat. And you're allowed to do that, it says, in the summer, but not in the winter, because it gets ruined in the winter. But that might be worse. That might be ibud ochlin. So in ufrufs, you're allowed to have ufrufs, you're allowed to throw candy, as long as the food won't get ruined during the ufruf. But we'll see shortly, that might be, again, different, because the next Isser, which we're going to begin discussing right now, which goes beyond the regular din of Baal Tashchis, is the halacha of Ibud Ochlin, destroying food. So let's actually get to that right now. So that's source number 4A. Kasaver machil adam ein machilin lebehema. The Gemara says, this is at least the view of one opinion, we'll see if we paskin that way, that you may not feed food that is human food to animals. This summer we were at a picnic, and we were at a lake, and my kids wanted to start feeding their lunch to the geese and the duck, probably because they were hoping to get to dessert and they didn't want their sandwiches. But anyway.
So it was a constructive.
So, right. But so I told them they're not allowed to. And based off of this Gemara, because this was their lunch, this was human food, you're not allowed to feed human food to animals. Why not? We know it's not like the Torah doesn't like animals. You actually have to feed your animal. You can't even eat if your animal's unfed. Tzar Bali Chaim demands of us that we not cause needless pain to animals. So what's wrong with feeding human food to animals? So Rashi explains, B, source B, En ma'achlin al behema mishum bizayon bizui ochlin. It's bizui, to be mevaza, to disgrace, to disparage food. So what's wrong with that? Umechzi kebo'et betova shehishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam. It looks like you're rejecting the goodness that God gave in this world. So what does Rashi mean? Rashi's telling us that when God gives us a gift, he gives us food, food for us to eat. And then we go ahead and we take that food and we give it to animals. So that shows that we don't appreciate the gift of food that he's given to us, and we're giving it instead to animals. So what should you feed animals? You do have to feed animals, so feed animals animal food. But don't give animals human food, because that shows that you don't appreciate the gift that you've been given. If somebody gives me a present, and I go ahead and either I throw it out, or I give it to somebody else, or I use it for some not so important, not so valuable, not optimal usage. So that shows that I don't appreciate it. The food we're given is an incredible gift, and we have to respect that gift by, among other things, not giving it to animals. That's Rashi's first interpretation. Inami, alternatively, Mishum dechas haTorah al mamono shel Yisrael. God cares about our mamon. He doesn't want us wasting it. So, as I said, this comes up all the time. Can you feed animals human food? Again, you have a dog and you feed your dog dog food. So that's okay, assuming it's not basar b'chalav. But if you, but you can't feed animals human food. So the Ksav Sofer, actually really the Elie Rabba earlier, and we'll see the Ksav Sofer and the Mishabur discuss this, and the Ksav Sofer and the Elie Rabba noted that people don't seem to be so machbit about this. People do seem to violate this issur. I'm not just talking about pet owners who, like, you know, sneak their pet during the meal a little bit of food. So the question is, why is it that people are not machbit about this? Because it's against the Gemara. The Elie Rabba said, well, maybe that's because we don't paskin like Rav Huna, who is the author of this statement. However, the Ksav Sofer is the son of the Chassam Sofer. The Ksav Sofer rejects this because we don't find a dispute in the Gemara about this point. There's no machlokas about this. So he wonders, why is it that people are not machbid about it? Not just that people aren't machbid, but for the most part, the poskim don't cite this. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Rambam. Why not? So if you look at the second paragraph, he says, Nachso lemay del kaman, the Yishuv shall Elie Rabba al Hashmatas Aposkim Lomi Yashiv Das. So, sorry. First, he doesn't like the Elie Rabba's answer because we don't find those who disagree. So, start with the paragraph of Ve'Allah. Ve'Allah b'machshava l'fanai. The Yesh Beis Rayos Mezugis D'Alma D'Lo Savar Lake Rehuna. Actually, maybe it is a debate. Maybe there are Gemaras that disagree with it. But in the end, he doesn't like that answer. And he gives a different answer. He says, maybe this halacha only applies to feeding animals that aren't yours. But when it comes to feeding your own animals, v'yesh lo revach shemachil osa dvarim haru'im l'adam, you benefit from giving it human food. Shai dezet is rabbe kocho v'tashmein. It'll be healthier. His assumption is that human food is healthier than animal food, so you give it human food, the animal will be healthier, so then it's not a violation. So if that's true, if you could feed your own animals but not others human food, so I was right by telling my kids that they may not feed the geese their sandwiches. Then he says, another answer a little later on when in the paragraph the Amnam, he quotes Machzis Hashekel. It was a different answer. Da'olam somchin al pirsheni shel Rashi betaynis deleka iser klal. Since the iser is only so as not to cause a loss of money, so if you're not, because Hashem is chas al mimonim shel Yisrael, so if you don't cause a loss of money, that's okay. Like, for example, this is leftover food. It would otherwise be thrown out. So then it would be okay. But it would seem then, according to both answers, I was right to tell my kids they shouldn't feed their lunch to the geese. So if the Elia Rab is right, that we don't paskin like this Gemara, then it was okay for my kids to feed their lunch to the geese. But if the Ksav Sofer is right, where the Machzis Hashekel is right, then that would be wrong. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? We'll just see one more. Look up to source C's Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah does quote this halacha. And then he quotes that the Elia Rabba is Mesupik. He quotes the Machzis Hashekel, that if you have something else to feed them, then you should. And the only time you should feed your animals, you should feed animals human food, is if you have no alternative and they're your own animals. In that case, the two reasons of Rashi don't apply, basically. Because if they're your own animals and you have no alternative, so it doesn't show a disregard for the bounty that God has given you, because you have nothing else to feed your animals and you need to feed your animals. And it's not saving you money, because again, you need to feed your animals and there's nothing else. And I think that, though, again, if one, I think we could be, those who are mekel are being somechan el yiraba, but the better thing to do would be to follow the view of the Ksav Sofer, and the Machzis Hashekel, the Mishnah Berurah, and the like, that you shouldn't feed, you should only feed animals human food when there's they're your animals and there's no good alternative. Yes?
So how do we define human food? Let's say like fruits and vegetables.
Any food that you would otherwise eat. But, you know, if you don't have a good alternative, and this is what your, you know, your pet eats, yeah, you have an obligation to feed your pet, so then that's what you could do. The zoo in the zoos in Eretz Yisrael are all owned by Kohanim. Why? Because they feed the zoo, the halacha is that the animals of Kohen could eat truma once it's tame. So they have all this huge amounts of food that's taken off of truma, really, mostly truma smicer, the like. So since the zoos, and zoos, huge amounts of produce, you know, how many cabbages an elephant eats in a day. So their food that goes to the zoo is all truma, not all, but at least a lot of it.
So are you saying if you have your own animal and you have leftover food that no one is going to eat,
then
it is still preferential to give them?
No, because then both of those reasons are, if it's the garbage versus your pet, mm-hmm. then your pet is certainly preferable to the garbage.
Okay, gotcha.
So the question, what I'm saying is that if you would otherwise eat this food, mm-hmm. and you have something else to feed your pet that's equally good, then you shouldn't give them that food.
So what is the whole concept of throwing bread in for Tashlich? I know some people say you're not supposed to, but...
Right, so throwing bread for Tashlich, just to explain, is wrong for a different reason. It shouldn't be done because you're not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos unless they're your animals.
According to this, it sounds like it's also
a story. No. Well, so now there's another question, which is, I'll tell you a story. Great story. When I was a teenager, I was visiting my grandfather. My grandfather, I think I might have told a story once. You know, he lived in Netanya. And in Netanya, there's, in Israel, at least it, I assume they still do this in Netanya anyway. Bread is pretty cheap, but it gets stale pretty quickly. So people like to buy fresh bread every day, every other day, which leaves you with lots of extra bread that you don't eat. So People don't like to throw out bread, and we'll see in a moment why and what the basis for that is. But people don't like to throw out bread. So what they do is they like tie it in these little bags to the garbage dumps. And that way, a poor person could come and take the bread if they want. But poor people don't, for the most part, take stale bread. So it just ends up getting thrown out with all the rest of the garbage. So I was going on a walk with my grandfather, and I noticed he took some of this. And I was like, Zaidi, we could afford bread. You don't have to take other people's stale bread. And you know, my grandfather was on the I don't want to say cheap working. He was very zahir in Baal Tashchas, put it that way. So I thought he was just like taking old bread. Oh my gosh, this is too much. So he said, "You'll see." I don't know what he meant. Anyway, the next morning, my grandfather would wake up at like 4 in the morning and say Tehillim. And I happened to wake up early because I jet lag. And I saw him, so I'm saying Tehillim, and I saw him take out this bag of bread and start breaking it up into little pieces and putting it into another bag. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You'll see." Anyway, later that day when we went on a walk, he takes out of his pocket these pieces of bread and he starts putting them in by the trees where all the birds come. He said, "For the fegelach, the birds." He spoke Yiddish. And he told me that how he makes bigger pieces and little pieces, because if you just have big pieces of bread, then the big birds box out all the little birds and they don't get anything. So this way he has big pieces and little pieces, so all the different birds come and get the bread. And he said that when it's all in a big loaf, it doesn't work. So he would every morning break up bread to little pieces. So that's, oh. And then he said, when he's doing it, he said the pasuk of, I think he said, Posech Sedach Maspiel Chol Chai Ratzon, or Tov Hashem L'Kol V'Rachamav L'Kol Ma'asav, I think that's what he said. So, Rachamav L'Kol Ma'asav. So, is that okay? Yeah. In that case, it's beautiful. That bread was not going to be eaten. That bread was garbage. No humans were going to eat that bread. It was stale. It might have still been edible, but it was in the garbage. So nobody was eating that bread. So then, to give that bread to birds, what a beautiful mitzvah. And I think that when there were customs of, let's assume you did the tashlich, not on Shabbos or Yontif, not on Yontif. So if you're using up stale bread that's anyway not going to be eaten, so then that would certainly be okay to give it to animals. Okay, so that's one halacha, and that really introduces us to the concept here, which we have to now define a little more, of ibud ochlin, which might go beyond, we'll explain in a moment, the parameters of Baal Tashchis, and that is destroying food. So you can't even give food to an animal, human food, edible food to an animal. Certainly, you can't presumably destroy it. In other words, let's say I have perfectly good food, and I throw it in the garbage. That's presumably much worse than giving it to an animal. So
if your kids were going to otherwise throw it out.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll get. Well, let's read one Gemara. And we'll talk about it. I'd like to turn to the Gemara on source number 5 on page 2 on the right column. Mahu liftsoa zeisim b'Shabbos. First, we're going to translate it like Rashi. May one bruise olives on a rock on Shabbos. This is an issue of in order to sweeten them. And the question is, why would you think it's aser? Maybe it's because of shvuyei ochlin on Shabbos. Maybe it's because of molid. Whatever it is, the Gemara wonders, is it aser because of Shabbos? Amar lehu v'chi b'chol miyotiru. It's not even mutter during the week. Kasavr misham hefted ochlin. In other words, it's aser to bruise these olives. Because of hefset ochlin. Why? Because the liquid that's squeezed out goes to waste. In other words, even though you're bruising the olives in order to sweeten them, apparently, but since some food gets wasted, it should be aser. Lema pliga de Shmuel, damer Shmuel, osa adam kol tzarko bet pas. You're allowed to do whatever you want with pas. What does that mean? You could use bread and certainly other foods as like a tool. Let's say you want to use bread as a spoon to scoop up your food. I once went to a wedding and they like had the salad in this like this, I don't know, this edible plate, right? You're allowed to do that. So Shmuel said, yeah. So the Gemara says, Ami praslo me'isa hani me'isi. No, it depends if it's going to get ruined, if it's going to be disgusting. When is it that you're allowed to go ahead and use bread for a spoon, for a bowl, as long as it doesn't get ruined? She might have thought that that's usher, and there might be some opinions that say that's usher, because it's still disrespectful to use the bread as a bowl. But we paskin like Shmuel that it's mutter, but only mutter if it doesn't make it disgusting. So therefore, it's usher to bruise these olives during because of the isser of hefsid ochlin. That's the way Rashi reads it. Take a look at source C, that's the Ritva. He quotes Tosfos, Fikshu Tosfos, Chad Demai Hefzit Ochlin Yesh Bezadra, but Tikkun Ochlin. How could you call this Hefzit Ochlin? You're making the olives taste better. And therefore, what does he understand? He has a different interpretation of the Gemara. Fikach Pershri Liftsoa Zaysim Lachuf, Bahen Panav Viyadav Ke'amar. Bruising the olives to make them taste better is certainly mutter. And we don't paskin like Rashi, we paskin like Tosfos. So what's the issue over there? The issue over there is for washing your hands. Apparently, olive pulp was used to clean, but it had the tendency to remove hair. So the Gemara said, is it mutter on Shabbos because it might remove hair? And the Gemara says, wait, shouldn't even be mutter during the week because you're ruining these olives when you're using it as a soap. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, how do we paskin? So basically, what's the Gemara saying? You can't use food if you're going to make it disgusting, but you can use food as a tool if you don't ruin it, right? So when you ruin the food by using it as a tool, like using it to wash your hands, then it's asur. When you use food as a tool, but you don't ruin it, like using the bread as a bowl, then it's mutter. That's what the seeming conclusion of the Gemara. Now, we're running late, so we're not going to go through all these sources, but we're going to skip to page 3, source D. And the Magen Avraham limits this prohibition significantly. He writes that the asur efshar litol biboris. The reason why it's asur to use olives for soap is because you could use soap. You have an alternative. And therefore, again, either because of Bal Tashchis or because of Bizui Ochlin, because like Rashi said, you're being boate, you're not showing respect to the food, the blessing that God gave you, that's why it's wrong. But if there's no alternative, then it's mutter. Why? Because in that case, the reasons don't apply. So what would this mean? Like he quotes, he says, Mishum, the bottom line, Bizui Ochlin, Umachzika Boit, Betova Shishbiya Kodesh Baruch Hu Bo'olam. Sometimes you look at shampoos, I don't know if they actually have them, the things that they say they have in it. But you never, they like everything, and they have oatmeal and shampoos and mango and shampoos. I get it. It's hard to imagine they actually put this stuff in there. But let's assume you did. Right, so could you, if you were making your own homemade shampoo and you put mangoes and oatmeal into it, that would leave your hair really clean. So that would be usher, presumably. Why? Because you could make shampoo without putting food into it. But if there was some type of need, I don't know, somebody gets sprayed by a skunk and they say that the only way to get the smell out is by bathing in tomato juice. Let's assume that's true. There's no alternative. So then, according to Magen Avraham, that would be okay. Because even though you're ruining the tomato juice, nobody's going to drink that tomato juice after you bathed in it. But since there's no alternative, then it would be okay. That's the psak of the Magen Avraham.
What if it's a cheaper alternative?
That's an interesting question. It's interesting. So let's read the Mishnah Berurah and then we'll think about it. It's a good point. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like this answer, source E, but he gives a different answer. Him osel refuah shari, afilu mimas bay. As long as it's for refuah, it's mutter, even if it gets disgusting. Afilu below refuah, emudaver shehutzorech adam, the derech ha'olam lasos be'ochel tzorech zeh. If it's tzorech adam, it's a human need. It's not just silly, but it's a need, like removing that smell from the skunk. And that's the derech ha'olam. In this case, that would be true because the normal way of removing skunk smell is with tomato juice. Then it would be okay. And presumably the reason is because it's not a bezayon for the ochel in that case. So, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah, if there was an alternative, the normal way to remove skunk smell is tomato juice. But there's an alternative that costs twice as much, but not made out of food, then the Mishnah Berurah would permit. And I think in that case you could be somech on the Mishnah Berurah. And again, the reason is because it doesn't show that you're being boeit b'shefa, boeit b'bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpia. In other words, the point is we're supposed to have respect for our food. Because the food is the bracha, the shefa, that Hashem gave us, by which we live. If you're utilizing it in a way, even if it ruins it, that's not a demonstration of that disrespect, then it would be okay. And the Rambam stresses that point. If you look at the next source, the Rambam writes, V'chein ein mafsidin, the last line, V'chein ein mafsidin shar ochlin u'mashkin derech bizui u'be'ita. In other words, it's usher whenever it's derech bizui u'be'ita. Yeah.
So, according to this, would it be usher to use food products to make a face mask?
Food products to make a face mask. So the answer is, it depends. Is it normal?
Yeah.
It's derech mani adam. So, and is there no equally good, easy alternative?
Well, they probably do the same thing.
So if you could use lotion that would do the exact same thing as avocado, so then, yeah, you shouldn't use avocado. If you believe that the avocado is going to do a much better job, so, and it's derech b'nei adam, then mechora, according to the Mishnah Berurah, would be okay.
I was thinking even differently, this might still be a bizayon, but I've seen, let's say, you have like a lot of flies in your apartment, and you want to get rid of the flies. You can make fly traps using, what is it, like
apple cider
or something?
Mm. So that might be a little better. I'll tell you why. Because in that case, you are not destroying the food.
Well, what if you have to mix in like soap or something? I think I saw something once.
So if you just use it... Maybe that's why it didn't work for me. So if you mix in soap, so then you're ruining it. So is there an alternative?
You can go to the store and buy something more expensive. Probably. It's also probably not as healthy also, because you're then inhaling all these chemicals.
If there's no good alternative. If there's no, again, if we follow the Mishnah Berurah, so then it's going to be mutter any time these two conditions are met. One is it's tzorech ha'adam. So yeah, I think getting rid of your flies from your apartment is tzorech ha'adam. I don't know why people have against flies, but let's assume that you don't like flies for some reason. And two, if it's derech ha'olam lasos b'ha'ochel tzorech zeh. So is that true? Is that derech ha'olam? So if it's, if those two conditions are met, then it's going to be mutter, according to Mishnah Berurah. Yes?
Is this an
I don't think it's definitely not... Well, we'll talk about that in one moment. Pashtus is not an Isur D'Oraisa. It might not even be an Isur D'Rabbanan. It might be an Isur D'Rabbanan, or it might just be a violation of the Torah's values. And a lack of hakara satov. Okay, so now let's talk about the question that we all have all the time, which is, am I allowed to throw out food? Right? So you're allowed to throw out spoiled food. Okay, that's pashat. But what about, we talked about before, so you finish your supper. You ate 2/3 of what's on your plate, and you're full. Okay, you thought you would have more of an appetite than you did. So now you have 1/3 left. It's perfectly good food. Nothing wrong with it. So we said before you shouldn't eat it just to get rid of it, right? That's for sure. Good. So now what do you do? Are you allowed to throw it out? So this isn't pashut. Why? Because you're destroying food. So really, there's two issues that we have to address that we've seen over here. One is hafsid ochlin, and two is bizui ochlin. They might be the same. Some Rishonim equate them. Others disagree. But we're going to assume now, and this is the assumption that many poskim have, including the Minchas Yitzchak, though not necessarily the Aruch HaShulchan, that these are two issues. So one is hafsid ochlin, which is a offshoot of Baal Tashchis. Right? That's one. And two is Bizui Ochlin. Right? What's wrong with Bizui Ochlin? Bizui Ochlin is, like we said, so you're not Boit Betova Shashem Ishbialeinu. So, what is the halacha? So it could be that it's not Hefsid Ochlin, it's not Baal Tashchis, if there's nothing that you can do with it anyway. Meaning to say, if I could save it till tomorrow and then eat it tomorrow, then it wouldn't, then it would be aser because of hefsid ochlin, and you should save it and eat it tomorrow. But this isn't going to be eaten for whatever reason, because it's Thursday and you're going away for Shabbos and it's not going to be good anymore by the time you get back, or any other various reasons that you're not. The fact of the matter is, you're never going to eat this again. If you put it into a container and put it into the fridge, it would not be eaten. So you could put it into the container and put it into the fridge and wait till it spoils and then throw it out. Or you could just throw it out now, right? So, you know, like leftover chalent. I actually like leftover chalent. But some people think that, like, you can't eat chalent after Shabbos. Now, I don't know why they think that. But that's what they think. They think, like, that's it. There's an expiration date of, like, 3 hours. Either you eat it in the first 3 hours or it's garbage. So maybe you could argue it's not Baal Tashchis because, basically, this is never going to be eaten anyway. What about Bizui Ochlin? So maybe you could argue that it's okay if you don't throw it right into the garbage where you ruin it. In other words, if I throw it into the garbage where it's going to go ahead and, like, be with the dirty diapers, and so then I'm actively destroying, ruining perfectly good food. So what should you do? But let's say you put it into a bag, all those plastic bags you have nothing to do with anyway, and then you put the plastic bag into a garbage can, so then, okay, it will eventually get ruined, but you're not ruining it. And maybe that's less of a bizayon. I'm not sure. The best thing to do, l'maisa, is it's best to save and eat later. And don't, like, you know, we shouldn't be so wasteful. When I was asking Rabbi Willig this question a number of years ago, he said that, yeah, he never throws out food. If there's any leftovers, he just puts it back and eats it the next day, or the like. That's really what's best. The next best is, now, again, if you save it to eat and then you don't get around to eating it and then it spoils, obviously, then you haven't done anything wrong because you didn't ruin it. It on its own got ruined, and then you could throw it out at that point. I saw Rav Eliyashiv was asked the following shaila at a wedding. He said, look, there's all this food left on the table. Let's even leave aside the food that's on people's plates, right? But what about the food in the middle, like the pickles and the coleslaw or the like? So he said, look, I could go around and collect it. But if I did that, it would cost me $1,000 because all that work to save $200 worth of food, right? So do you have to do that? Rav Yashiv said, no, you don't have to. In that case, you could just, since it's very inefficient to go around collecting the, you know, little bit of this and little bit of that and little bit of the other thing, And in America, for sure, that's true, because you're not even allowed to reserve it once it's on the table, even if it's in a serving dish. So then you could throw it out. So I don't know. I'm not sure. That's what I told you at the beginning. I'm not sure. The question is, is it mutter to just throw out perfectly good leftover food straight into the garbage can when there's really nothing wrong with it? Not clear. I think there's more room for leniency when it's other people's plates. Why? Because then, for me, it's garbage. When I go ahead and I clear the table on Shabbos, so I'm not going to eat from their plate. They're not going to eat from their plate. They're leaving. They're my guests. They're going home. They're not taking their leftovers with them. Okay? I don't know. Like, you know, when you go to restaurants, people ask for one of those doggy bags. But for some reason, when you're Shabbos guests, nobody asks for there's the food on their plate to get put into those little containers. But okay. Anyway, so in that case, I think I could throw it out. Why? Because it's garbage for me already. Because I'm not going to eat somebody else's leftover food. If it's your own food, it's a little less clear if it's really appropriate to certainly throw directly into the garbage can, where you're taking perfectly good food and you're basically destroying it. And again, don't eat it. Don't eat it. It's not Baal Tashchis. But the question is, I think in that case it would be preferable to either save it or at the very least put it into a bag and then throw it out, as opposed to putting it directly into the garbage can. I wanted to, but I didn't get a chance to ask some other poskim about this question, because it is a very interesting and common question. There's still a lot of other questions I wanted to do with you, but we're almost out of time. I'll mention, skip to source 6 on the next page. Is bread different? And then we'll do 2 more relevant questions that are very interesting. In source 5, we have ufrufs and what I mentioned before, which is that you shouldn't do an ufruf in a way that's going to destroy the food for the reasons that we said. So if you look, for example, at the tour in B, bottom right of page 4, it says that Zarkin Lefneim Klaios Vegozin Bimosachama Sheinu Nimas Avlo Bimosag Shamim Mipneishin Nimasim. So this, by the way, is another thing that I hate, though I don't think it's aser, but hate, it's a strong word, but it bothers me. All these art projects that my kids make with food in school. So that's mamish aser, right? Mamish aser from what we've seen. So they make a painting, so it's not mamish aser, because the food that they use for these art projects are usually not edible. As they go ahead and they make a picture out of which they paint using macaroni. So I don't think it's mamish aser, because it's an estate that's not edible. So if they took good food, edible food, and then they used it for art, and they couldn't eat it. I'm not talking about making like a necklace with Cheerios, where then you eat the Cheerios off your necklace. That would be okay. But where you take edible food and you make it into an art project, which sometimes happens, I've seen such projects coming out for school, that I think is for sure aser. If not aser, certainly not appropriate. If it's the macaroni, so I don't think it's aser because it's inedible. Though it bothers me, because that's boy b'shefa, it's boy b'bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ishpi aleinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us noodles, Baruch Hashem. To take that and ruin it by turning it into art project, I don't have anything against art, but you should use art supplies for art. And I think it reflects a lack of appreciation of the shefa, of how we should think of food. We, Baruch Hashem, live in a society where, thankfully, there's so much food that it's very easy to lose this sensitivity. I think in earlier generations, like I said, my parents, my grandparents, but even my parents, they like, it really bothers them to throw out food. And because, you know, my grandparents lived in a world where people didn't always have as much food as they needed. And they were hungry at times. And I think they naturally had this appreciation. For us, where thankfully food is so plentiful, and probably none of us have experienced hunger due to, you know, not being able to afford or procure food. So we don't have that appreciation. So, okay, number six, is bread different? So, again, we'll have to do this much more bekitzer, but if you look at the Gemara here, from Brachos, it says, Ein zarkin es ha'ochlin, and the Gemara says, Ahibe pastani, you're not allowed to throw bread. You're not allowed to throw bread. And the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's a machlokas rishonim, but the way we paskin is, that's even if it's not going to be a hafzid. In other words, you said before, so even if the bread is not going to be ruined, I'm distributing my challah, right? And so I want to throw out the pieces instead of passing them on a tray. So the way we paskin is that's aser. No, some people have that minhag, but the pashta says it's wrong. You shouldn't throw bread. But why? It's not getting ruined. What's wrong with it? So the reason is, if you take a look at source C, the Aruch HaShulchan, where it's bolded, the lo dami lepas shal halechem yechiyadav. Why is it okay? We said before, you could have the ufruf with candies, right? Why is it you're allowed to throw candies, you're not allowed to throw bread? Okay, if the candies get ruined, you can't even throw the candies. But if the candies don't get ruined, you're allowed to throw them. So why is bread different? Al alechem yechiyadav. Bread is the ikar sustenance that we depend upon. V'tzarch linhog bo ktsas kavod. You have to have a little more kavod for it. Because that's our ikar sustenance. We have to show that hakar satov and treat it even more respectfully. So fine. So that's the way we paskin. Number seven, this is something also my grandfather was makbid about, most people aren't. It's from the Magen Avraham, based on the Gemara. Kshara, ochlin munachan ala aretz, aser leilich lanicham el etzarech lagbiyam. You see food on the floor, pick it up. Certainly, if it's in a place where it might get stepped on, at the very least, if you think it's gross to pick it up from the food on the sidewalk, kick it off to the side so other people won't step on it. At the very least, do that. Unless you're afraid of witchcraft. And finally, we will conclude with two fascinating hashkafic sources. Number one is the Sefer Chinuch from on this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Tashas from our parsha. He talks about Baal Tashas a lot, but we'll skip to where it's underlined on the top right of page 5. V'zehu derech ha-chasidim v'anshei ma'isa. Olavim shalom usmeichem v'tov ha-brios. The way of Hasidim is that they won't even waste a tiny thing. They're very troubled by any destruction that they see. And they could save something from being ruined, they will. The lochein harishayim achehem shel mazikin smechem bashchasas olam vehema mashchisim. Rishayim are the opposite. They're happy to see destructiveness and destruction, and they participate in it. This is a sensitivity. The chassid is someone who's very bothered by wastefulness, by destructiveness. Everything in the world is here for a purpose and serves a value. And destructiveness shows that you don't believe that. We all know, source number B, that Yaakov Avinu returned for the Pachim Ktanim. Why? There's more to say about this, but the short answer is because Yaakov Avinu appreciated that if he was given these Pachim Ktanim, if he was given these vessels, Hashem gave it to him for a reason, and he wasn't going to let them go to waste. He wasn't going to be lazy and just not bother going back for them, and he went back for them. There's a famous poem attributed to Rishlomo Ibn Gabiro, which is more or less a song. Top left, Adam doig al ibud damav, ve'eno doig al ibud yamav, damav einam ozrim, yamav einam chozrim. This is a very powerful poem. And this brings us back to a point that we mentioned at the beginning, which is you shouldn't confuse Baal Tashchis with stinginess. The person who eats because he doesn't want to throw out because he's cheap. It says over here in this poem, a person, Adam doeg al ibud amav, ve'eno doeg al ibud yamav. A person worries a lot about losing their, what does damav mean here? right? Their money and not their days. Damav enam ozrim, in the end of the day, your money doesn't help you. Yamav enam chozrim, your days don't go back. And what saving, you know, not being wasteful and not being frivolous is very valuable. But at the same time, sometimes we go ahead and we spend huge amounts of time to save small amounts of money. And that's not a good idea, because in a sense, the most precious commodity we have is our life, is our time. It never gets back. We never get it back. Every minute passes, and that's a minute that's lost. And I know some very great people, and one of the things I've always seen that surprised me is that they live very simply, and they don't waste money on anything. Very, very simple lives. They have very basic furniture, like really usually too old, and very basic houses. Everything is very simple. But, you know, they'll spend the extra money to take a cab and not a bus or a walk or all those extra things. Things that people that have a lot more money and spend a lot more money and all sorts of things on couches and art and the like, they would save that money. Right? And the answer is very simple. Because they, great people, realize the preciousness of time. So, if you take a look here, source J from the Orchos Tzadikim, he's talking about the Midah of Kamtzanus, stinginess. And he makes this point. He says, we'll skip a little, V'hatov shebezos hamidah she'eno mafgir mimono be'avalim. The good part of stinginess is a person who doesn't waste his money on silly things. But it could have a very bad thing. That's haikana sos hamidah himaguna berov inyana. Most of the time, stinginess is a bad thing. And a person has to spend their money thoughtfully. Skip to where it's underlined. L'chein yedaktik ha'adab be'ashro be'atzmo v'yeh nadiv b'makom sh'roi lo lihis nadiv. A person should be generous where it's worthwhile to be generous. U'v'makom sh'ein ro'i lo lihis nadiv. Yatzaikan v'kili. And you should be cheap in other things. V'yishkol kol zeh b'moz nayim shel tov. You have to weigh it in the scales of Torah. And the idea is very simple. Very important, though. Very simple and very important. And that is the following. I think most of us have a natural inclination in this regard, like with all midos. Some people, naturally, a lot of times it has to do with your upbringing and how much money you have, though it's not necessarily dependent. I know wealthy people that are very big penny pinchers and poor people that are very frivolous. Whatever it is, naturally, we're one or the other. Some people are naturally very spendthrift, and some people are frivolous, and some people... So a person has to be thoughtful, because you could err in both directions. And you have to do what makes sense. And that's what the Orchos Tzadikim is saying, which is that sometimes it's very easy to err in both directions. And like all things in life, a person must be thoughtful about this. One last very, which again we'll have to do very bekitzer, but very important halacha, which is the issue of crumbs and bread. So we mentioned before that we treat bread a little more stringently than other things out of hakaras hatov. The Gemara in Chulin on Lamed Kuf Hei Amud Beis, so that's discussed over here in Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph and Shabbos. In Chulin, Kuf Hei Amud Beis, I guess I'll just summarize the Gemara, because we're out of time. It quotes that Abaye said, I used to think that we gather up, I guess we sweep the crumbs for the sake of cleanliness. And Rabba told me it was Dekashil Aniyusa, it's to avoid poverty. And it tells us a story about a certain person that was always careful about his crumbs and the Malach appointed over poverty was never able to get him. And there's a whole story about that. So what does that mean practically? So let's skip to the Shulchan Aruch. So just turn the page to page 6. Sif Dalid, which is on the left column, Afal pi shemutal abed ha-peirurin she'en bahem kezayis mikol makom kasha la'anios. So even though you're allowed to destroy crumbs as long as they're less than a kezayis, it's bad for poverty. Again, presumably because it reflects a lack of appreciation of what God gave us. So if you look at the Magen Avraham, he says, we'll skip to where it's bolded, el al karchach de lo kasha la'anios. There are a number of sources that indicate that you don't have to worry about crumbs, and the resolution of the Magen Avraham is it's only a cause of poverty if you step on them, if you trample on them. If you throw them into the water, or let's say in our case into the garbage can, shari, even though they get ruined. And skip a little towards the end. So what comes out halacha l'maisa with bread is like this. You're going ahead and you're clearing your table. So we said you could throw out the plates of food that certainly that aren't your food because it's garbage. What about bread? Shouldn't throw out bread if it's bigger than a kezayis. What should you do? You should collect it and put it into a bag. And when it gets, when it's inedible, then you can throw it out. I remember in yeshiva, after the meals, before they threw out all the food, there was always one person in charge of, at a bag, collecting all the scraps of bread. That's if they're bigger than a kezayis. If they're less than a kezayis, you could throw them out, but you shouldn't step on them. So if there are crumbs on the floor, instead of stepping on them, you should sweep them up and throw them out. Those are crumbs, they're less than a kezayis. And if they're bigger than a kezayis, it's best not to throw them out in the garbage, where by putting them in the garbage, you will be ruining them. So we should be zocha to be makbid on Bal tashchis of our possessions, and also Bal tashchis of our neshama, and use all the gifts that God has given to us in their full potential.
Okay.
Want to turn it off? Okay. Yeah.